Blog Talk Radio.
Joke, we'd like to hear that too. But remember, guys, please keep it clean. This is a family show. And if you're calling for the first time, just press 1 to join in the conversation. And now here's our host, Wild Bill.
Well, hello, everybody. Hello, Starla. How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing pretty good now that I'm home.
I bet you're probably wiped out. There's nothing like taking a couple of days and getting all charged up, seeing family, but then you got that trip home, and then all of a sudden everything just kind of hits you, doesn't it?
Well, yeah, and the fact I got to work tomorrow, but I'm glad to be home.
No place like home. Well, I tell you what, it's really funny. My grandmother used to have these little jokes that she could tell all the time. And it's funny when people are alive, you hear things that they say and they crack you up or make you sad and even sometimes make you angry with things that they say. And you think that you'll never, ever forget, you know, some of the things that they say. And I was racking my brain today, which I'll be honest with you, last week was one of those weeks that just totally wiped me out. And I've not slept so much in the last 2 days. I mean, I have slept. But I couldn't think of any of those. And I'd asked Starla if she could remember. Did you remember one of Granny's jokes that she had, Starla, that you could share?
Not that I could share.
Not that you could share. Granny did have a sense of humor where things were sometimes just a little bit off color, not something real bad. So I just knew you had one, though, that you was going to share with us. You don't have one?
I'm not a good joke teller. I always forget the punchline.
Okay. Well, I'm going to start this off with one of my favorite jokes from when I was about 6 or 7 years old here. And, Starla, I'll let you see if you know the answer to this. You've probably heard me say it 1,000 times with our kids, but do you know what Tarzan said when he saw the elephants coming?
I don't know if I do. No.
He said, "The elephants are coming."
Oh, boy.
And do you know what the elephants said when they saw Tarzan coming?
Tarzan's coming?
They didn't say anything because elephants can't talk.
Oh, boy, we are witty tonight, aren't we?
Well, we're trying to be. Do you know what Tarzan said when he saw the elephants coming with sunglasses on? He didn't say anything because he didn't recognize them.
Wow. Well, Blog Talk Mom, you got a comment about his little funny jokes?
Well, I'm not really good at jokes either. It just seems like I always forget the punchline or tell the punchline before I'm supposed to. But I did have a cute one that Mother said. I love to tell it. And it was about an elderly couple that went to a fair, a big fair, and they had a plane ride, and they really wanted to ride that plane ride. And they kept standing there and standing there, and it was $10. So he went on and he just a minute. Someone is calling me, which is not good if they keep beeping. But anyway, the guy that was running the airline said, he said, "I'll tell you what. If you can get on this ride and you can ride and not holler out or scream when I do all these little antics, then I'll let you ride free." And they said, "Oh, that sounds pretty good." So they got on and they were the guy, but he'd do up, straight up, and then straight down, and then he'd turn flips, and they didn't make a sound. So when the plane landed, he said, "I am really impressed. But y'all didn't make a sound." He said, "Well, I almost did when Mabel fell out, but $10 is $10.
Oh, so like you've won the prize
right.
So far for the best joke.
If I'd have told it like she told it, it was so cute. $10 is $10. Can you put me off the air for a minute so I can answer my other phone? Oh, yes.
Wow, we have been swapped out off the air because of another show or someone calling. Can you believe that? What are you doing? I concur.
Well, it sounds like somebody's been playing with the sound effects today.
I don't know anything about that. So did you have one started about Granny told about the birds. Is that something clean enough you could tell?
The birds.
You said something about a bird or something, I thought.
I don't remember. I'm not a good joke teller because I can't remember the whole thing. You picked the wrong person to know.
That's terribly awful if you can't tell the whole thing. Also, I was thinking about funny stories people could share, and one of them that everyone loves to tell on me is about when I was, I don't know, I guess 7 or 8 years old, we used to go to a place called Lake Sylvia. It was in Perry County, Arkansas, and we'd been swimming all day. It had a swimming lake, and it had a public area, and then there was a Girl Scout camp, I think, on the other side of it. And I was rolling my sister's ball across to somebody, rolling it up and down the little walkway pier that they had up there. And I accidentally, it went too far to one side and it hit the bar and went out in the water and was drifting away. And it didn't sink. So I thought I was going to come to the rescue and go and get the ball. Well, the only problem with that was is that I thought I had my swimming trunks under my pants because that's what I usually did when we went down to the lake. And but I had already taken them off because we had already finished swimming and had already eaten and everything. So here I go. I'm going to come to the rescue. And so I drop my pants, and there's my underwear. And so in a panic, and I still hadn't figured out why in the world I did this, I just sat down right there on the dock. Like, I guess, I think I thought if I sat down, I would become invisible, and nobody would know that I was there. I don't know what I was thinking, but anyway, once I got on the ground, then I pulled my pants up, and then I was, you know, like, realized, okay, everybody can still see me here. I'm not invisible, and I still wasn't able to save the ball, which I think somebody else went to the rescue of the ball, so that wasn't a total waste there, but that was one of the most embarrassing little things that everyone used to love. It's funny, whenever you start dating and become a teenager, those are the stories that everybody always remembers and they always share when you're going on dates. And that's one of those that my family has enjoyed for years and years and years. I don't see Blog Talk Mom. She's not back.
She's not back yet, but your sister's here.
Okay.
Joy?
Hello, hello. Oh. Can you hear me?
We can hear you.
Yes, I hear you.
Oh, boy. Starla, I feel for you having to try to be the straight man to all this.
Oh, boy. You should have done this tonight.
I just said I feel for you, and then you're just like, hey, I know how you can feel for me. You can do it.
Yeah.
I have a joke, although I did get a little distracted from the memory of you pulling down your pants in front of everyone. That's truly hilarious if you were there. I don't know if it translated for people who weren't there, but it was so funny.
Why is it that that's one of those stories that everybody used to always repeat telling things on me? I never, you know, all the good things that I did growing up. No, that's the story we always had to tell.
Well, good things aren't funny. We're just telling that one we're being funny.
That's
all right,
true.
Are you ready?
We're ready.
Okay, go.
Knock, knock.
Who's there?
Who's there?
Boo.
Boo-hoo.
Aren't y'all glad to see me?
Oh, boy, that's old. Wow.
Oh, yeah. What are you, Miss Groner Louise? I don't hear you throwing anything on the table.
Oh, I'm a good joke teller. I got a joke.
Don't get to groan at other people's if you don't try. Well, Bill, I really think this was an excellent idea to go for the lighthearted. There's just so much heavy going on in the world, and I think Merry Heart Doth Good Like a Medicine. Actually, I didn't think that, but I agree with it. And it's good for us to all just lighten up and laugh a little bit. And I'm just kidding. Your part of the humor, Starla, can be the groaning.
Okay.
Actually, I heard a joke kind of like that here not long ago where this man went to the doctor after being at Sunday school, and he said, you know, I heard that them talking about that a merry heart does good like a medicine. And the doctor walked out of the room and come back in there with a feather and was sitting there tickling the guy on the foot. And the guy was just laughing and laughing and laughing. So the doctor left, sent the nurse back in, told the guy that he was fine, he could go ahead and go home. And about 3 weeks later, he got a bill for $10,000.
Uh-oh.
And he's like, you didn't do anything. You tickled me with a feather. And he's like, hey, medicine costs money, and I gave you a merry heart. You laughed and laughed and laughed, and you were the one that brought it to my attention. And so, you know, that you got to pay the piper.
But his pain came back then.
Yeah, I'm going to have to agree with the donkey on that one.
Hey, be nice to the donkey.
Oh, she was being nice
okay.
to the donkey.
Be nice to the host.
That's
all right,
more of a problem.
I wanted to make you laugh. There was a drunk guy. Do what?
I'm listening.
Everyone
She's
got quiet
ready
at once.
To try.
Someone said something. Get ready to try, okay? There was this drunk that was at a bar, and the bartender come walking in his room and found him in there. And he says, what are you doing? And he says, well, I'm trying to use the bathroom. He says, but every time I reach back to pull the handle, he says, someone keeps pinching me on the rear end. And the bartender says, man, you're sitting on a mop bucket.
I like the sound effects. I think they're the funniest part.
Oh, come on. It was a little funny.
You're probably giddy on sleep. That's the first time you've been caught up on your sleep in a while.
Actually, that's funny how that works, though, is because you don't ever get it all out. You sleep in smaller increments or something. I don't know. And it seems like when you do get up, it's like you don't want to. And so you're like, oh, man, what am I supposed to do now?
Get up and tell a bunch of jokes.
Yep. I had threatened, sent a thing out on Facebook letting them know that I was going to tell a story on Jennifer, that if she didn't come on here, but I don't think she has, so I don't guess I ought to pick on her. That wouldn't be very nice.
Hey,
we could also
funny,
tell a story on
game.
Joy.
Hey,
since
I'm never
she's here.
Come on, let's. She's here.
Hey, meet him out. Starla, come on. Solidarity. Sisters and whatnot.
I'm sorry. We got a lot in this thing. That's
something. Yeah, when we were about, I don't know, I guess I was about 6 or 7, which meant Rhonda was probably about 3. And we were always running late everywhere we went. And Blog Talk Mom was one of those people that she was definitely a hot rod mom. I mean, she drove when she was going someplace. You know, she didn't let the grass grow, but anyway, we was whipping down the road pretty quick, and Mom was usually trying to fix her hair and do everything all at the same time on her way to church while she was getting ready. She was doing little final touch-up things. And all of a sudden, out of the blue, Joy says, look, Mom, there's Jesus and God. And, man, Mom was looking up in the sky. She was jerking the car all over trying to look and see what it was. And, you know, because, you know, Joy was pretty much, you know, black and white. You know, when she saw something that she remarked on, it was you could be sure there was something there. Anyway, Blog Talk Mom finally looked up and saw, and there was 2 men up on a telephone pole.
I realized right away that it wasn't funny. Her reaction was such that I was like, uh-oh, maybe this isn't funny. Then she was relieved, I think.
Yeah,
ready
Rhonda
to.
Was also a poet when she was about 3 or 4 years old. She had a little poem she wrote. It was, there was a little angel behind the bush, and he could come out whenever he wished.
Aww.
I was trying to copy you. You had written some poem at school, and I thought, I'm going to do it. I worked pretty hard on that, especially considering I couldn't write, so I had to just memorize and write it in my head.
Oh, yeah. The only I can remember writing is something we put a tune to where we made a bomb.
Uh-oh.
You remember that?
Yep.
Hey, Mom, I got,
a, got
bomb
a bomb
that I invented,
that I invented
by myself.
By myself.
I was going from
What'd you say, Starla?
Oh, I'm going from jokes to talent show.
Yeah, you got a talent? Throw it in there. Richie, want to do
no,
our famous standby?
No, I'm not in the mood for fuzzy-wuzzy. I know that's what you were going to say.
I kind of felt that.
With all
on
your little sayings you put on Facebook and everything, I figured you'd have a humorous story, even if it wasn't something else, something to share that you had heard or something.
Well, if there's one thing that's always, always you can count on it, whatever you figure I'm going to do on the show is what I don't do. So you should always just go for the exact opposite. I think almost every show, I figured Joy would do something better than what she's doing.
All right, man. Put her up against the wall.
Wall. Oh, you go for it. Oh, boy.
Knock, knock.
Who's there?
Who's there?
Spell.
What?
Spell.
Spell?
Mm-hmm.
Spell who?
W-H-O.
Oh, boy.
Come on, people. Somebody press one before I don't have anywhere left to shoot.
Well, here's one. If you're an American in the living room, what are you in the bathroom?
European.
What?
You heard my joke.
That's funny.
I don't know the joke. It wasn't that funny. Oh, boy.
Well, somebody seemed to think it was funny. Except for all them European people.
Well, I have a little joke. I don't know.
Okay.
I used to tell it when I was in school, and I never got to the punchline because it tickled me so much, all I would do was laugh. Anyway, I'll try to get through it. School was having a dance, and there was this little girl, and she was quite chunky. Anyway, she was at the punch bowl, and there was this little boy that came to the punch bowl and asked her if she'd like a drink, and she said yes. But they were both really self-conscious because the little girl was so chunky, and the little boy had a wooden eye. Anyway, they played.
Is that where you start chuckling?
Not yet. Anyway, they kept playing songs, and so the little boy, finally got up his nerve and asked the little girl to dance. Now, remember, she's self-conscious, and he's self-conscious because of his wooden eye. Anyway, when he asked her to dance, she said, "Would I? Would I?" And she said, "Daddy, daddy, daddy." Oh, come on, guys.
Oh, would I?
Fanny.
That was funny. Oh, I forgot you had told me that before.
Well, that was probably my best joke. See what I mean?
We've exhausted our repertoire.
I think we all should have got online and looked up some jokes for this.
Well, I got one for you. Do you know why the Bible is like a software license? Nobody? It's because most people scroll down to the bottom and click I agree. Oh, come on. It was a little funny.
Aww. Okay, that was a good one.
Take me out and shoot me.
Oh, I thought you were pausing for the gun. We're ready for the guns.
Well, the Bible must have some.
I just knew that when we were growing up, the kids and stuff used to, there were so many funny things that they used to share. I remember that there was this family from Jonesboro, Arkansas, or around Jonesboro, it was the George family. And I always thought that I was a character, but these girls put me to shame. And so I remember one time they were we were all out together, and they said they were going to hypnotize me. And I'm like, this, you can't hypnotize me. You know, so I was going to show that they were wrong. So they sat, one of the girls sat down across from me, and she said, do everything that I do. And she handed me this coffee cup, and it had water in it. And so she would take this cup, she'd stick her finger in it, and I'd stick my finger in it, and then she'd pull it out, and she would, like, make a line on her face. And, you know, I looked down in there to make sure that was water. I looked on my fingers, like, no, 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 you got to look right into my eyes. And but it was just water. There was nothing in there. So I'm like, okay. And so then all of a sudden, you know, she would stick her finger in there, and she would rub the bottom of the cup. And then she would make a line on her face. And so this went on for about 4 or 5 minutes. And then they said, okay, you're hypnotized. I'm like, no, I'm not. And they stuck a mirror up in my face. And what they had done was took a candle or a match and it held it up to the bottom of the cup. So it had soot on the bottom of the cup. And so I had made all these beautiful black lines all over my face, right up here in front of all these kids up here that, you know, I was trying to be the super cool guy and everything. And here it was, instead of being the cool guy, I had these black lines all over my face. I think we were at Pizza Hut or something when we had done this, but I'm not sure. But that's what they did to me. No, I think they shot me. Come on,
with
a
cannon,
little funny.
Maybe.
I cannot believe that there's not people just jumping out here with all kinds of funny stories. I was trying to think about when we were at BB, it seemed like there was always something funny going on there. And at that church, you had a front door and a side door. And I remember when we first came to that church, there was a trailer factory right across the street. And people used to actually sit there and watch just to see what would happen from this little church, because it wasn't like your normal everyday church. And, you know, and you would think there would be catcalls and stuff, but all of a sudden someone would take off out the side door and they'd run around to the front and come in, or they'd have a victory march. And Brother Shield had this bass drum that he used to beat on the tambourine, and he'd lead the parade, and everybody would go up there, and we'd keep on singing. It was real funny. You could hear the music when he was inside, and then when you walked out, it seemed like everything was so flat because all you could hear was this drum being beat on until you got back in the front door at the other end going back around. But we had this brother in there, a little redhead guy named Dwayne, and he sometimes he would take off out that one door and come in the other. And for some reason, I don't know if he felt like he was being humble or what it was, but he decided that he was going to come in on his hands and knees through the front door as he came in. He was crawling down the aisle, and I remember he was just crying. And they didn't live but probably about a mile or less from the church. And when they'd come to church, their dog followed them to church. And so as Dwayne is crawling in the church, his dog is sitting there jumping up over his head and jumping over the back end of him and prancing around like, hey, this is a new game. I want to play this. And everyone was trying not to laugh, but I'm telling you, people were rolling. Because here he is crawling in up here, and his dog sitting there just thinking this is just the greatest thing that ever could have happened to him. He got to go to church and play with Daddy in church. It was just, I guess it was one of those things you just had to be there to see, but it was hilarious. I think everything's going to the dog.
Who's that
and
donkey?
The donkey. The bad thing about doing something like this is you can't hear other people laugh or anything because you're on the radio. So that makes it kind of, you're waiting for everybody just to crack up like, oh, it's not funny, or some response like that, and there's nobody there.
But Starla and I are chuckling our heads off, and you can't hear us, right, Starla?
Yeah, we're trying.
We're doing our massive chuckling, and then you say, oh, come on, it's a little bit funny. And we know. That's why we gave it a little bit of a chuckle.
I thought maybe it went over your head.
Yeah, well, they are so sophisticated.
Wow.
Yeah, we got a jet fly by there.
See, that was a joke.
I don't know about that. Now, if you had a drum thing, we could have done a little drum roll there, couldn't we?
Yeah. It makes me miss Grandma because, boy, she would call in and have had several ready for you. This would have been a concept that was right up her alley.
Yeah, this was.
I can't believe that my mind was going so blank on it.
Yeah, I know. So today I said something. I said, tell me a good joke. I told Kevin to tell me a good joke, and his face went blank. There's something about being asked about it that somehow makes him. He's always acting goofy. That's funny.
I think a lot of it's ad lib. You know, those are the things that just, you know, more than anything else. And I've had a lot of funny things in my life. I remember that Brother Shield was going to preach on the full armor of God. And we had a new grocery store that came into BB called Knight's Grocery. And they had this knight in armor statue. It was probably, I don't know, 5 foot, 5.5 feet tall. And it was so funny how ignorant some of us were on things that we were not thinkers, to say the least. And not saying that people were stupid. You know, if you never done something before, you just didn't think a whole lot about it. And I wasn't very big, but I was extremely strong. I'd been raised, you know, in the country and, you know, worked on farm and thing. And so I was a lot stronger than a lot of people thought I was. And anyway, Brother Shield's dad had passed away and he had this Dodge pickup truck. And so we go and I'm standing in the back with this knight standing up. And Brother Shield was like, Mom, he's one of those people didn't let grass grow. Matter of fact, he could probably put Mom to shame. I mean, that man could cover some ground because he did do that illustration of people with their candle burning. Well, he was one of those had his candle burning at both ends and in the middle. I mean, did the Christian school, was going to college, you know, pastoring a church, just the whole thing of what he had to do. It was just unreal. So he just jumps out there on the highway and takes off doing the speed limit, and this thing's trying to lift me up out of the back of the truck and blow me out. And so you would think that I'd have enough sense to lay it down, but instead I start screaming. Well, I was always screaming about something. So, you know, he's probably just sort of like, oh, what's he doing up there? He's probably showing off screaming at somebody going down the road or something here, you know, wondering what he's doing. And at one point I actually had my feet up against the tailgate, And I don't know why I didn't think just to let go of the knight, just let it blow out. We could have picked it back up. But the wind had so much force to it and everything, the knight was in one hand was holding his shield up, and the wind had actually bent the arm back with the shield in it. And when we got there, I was sitting there like, you know, I almost blew out of the back of the truck and everything. You know, just like, you know how it is with teenagers. They say things and they're always saying stuff, and so you really don't pay a whole lot of attention to what's going on there. But just as easy, I could have been blown out of the back of that truck, me and the knight, and we could have got run over or something. But just, nobody had a clue. We just did our own little things and just happened to survive. It was just one of those things that happens.
Thank goodness.
I figured
you didn't
blog
blow
called
away.
Mom would tell her. Yeah. Well, there were so many things with me that it's just a miracle. We had a guy went to our church named Jack Causey, and I had this stupid thing with cars to where when we regraveled our parking lot, I used to do things like, you know, get behind people's car and hide at night, and I could brace myself, and I could actually hold their car to where their tires were spinning. They couldn't go anywhere. And if I wasn't doing that, then I was doing crazy things like getting on the hood of someone's car. Why, I don't know. Of course, you can't do that now because cars don't have real metal in them. It'd collapse the hood. But I did that with Jack, and he took off. That's when we was in the trailer house where the school was being built. And they had that long gravel drive you could go in over by whatever that metal building was down there where all the big giant rows of spool were set up there. But anyway, he got up to about, it seemed like 50 or 60 miles an hour, and it may not have been that fast. And the way the hood was made on his car, it had a something to hang on to where the windshield wipers went down. So I was hanging on, and he'd went down there. But when he slammed on the brakes, he also cut the wheel, which made the car slide sideways. And I went flying off there, and I slid on the gravel. I don't know, for probably 15, 20 feet. I mean, I had some big old long scrapes through my clothes on my back, and my rear end, and my chest, and my arms. And it was really funny. Jack, realizing then that I could have been hurt, he jumps out all concerned. And being the ignorant person I was, I ran up. I jumped up off the ground and ran at him just as hard as I could. And I swung just as hard as I could, and I hit him right in the head. And hit him hard enough that it actually turned his head. I mean, I hit him. And he didn't even finish. He was just like, I never hit him. He said, are you all right? Bam, I hit him. He goes, are you all right? And I was like, don't think I want to do that again. You don't even know that I hit him. I was like, you know, I think I better count it lucky that this one didn't register. Because he was a pretty good-sized man. You know, here I was just a kid. But we used to make jokes about that, me and Russell and Mark, you know, talking about how that didn't, because they all saw me hit him, you know, and we were all fairly stout. And but it was one of those things where, like, man, don't hit Jackie. If you're going to hit him, don't hit him in the head. It don't hurt him. It's block. We used to make jokes calling him Blockhead and everything after that because, man, that guy, he took a punch. But really what happened was he realized I could have been seriously hurt, and, you know, he was just so glad that I wasn't. And so that's just another one of those little humorous stories from you wonder how in the world you survived. And I got one other one I can remember that just really jumps out at me. And it's funny, I was thinking about Sister Mary Hanna today. Oh, there's no one like Sister Mary Hanna. I mean, she was one of a kind. And she had to go get the commodities for the school. And somehow another, you talk about stories with cars, that woman had more trouble with cars of anybody I've ever seen. I remember she had one car, we called it the Pope Mobile. And I can't remember what is the name of that car? Do you remember? She had a bubble car. I can't remember what it actually was, though. Do you?
I can't remember.
Like it was made by American Motors.
It was a Pacer.
Yeah, it was a Pacer. But anyway, one time she pulled in the parking lot with that car, and just as she pulled in there to park, one of the front wheels just fell off of it. Just right there in the parking lot, plunk, there it was. You know, she was like, you know, she was thankful that it happened after she got in the parking lot. But I had this 70 model Mercury Cougar, and for those of you that wasn't alive back then, it was about the same thing as a Ford Mustang is now. But it was the Mercury model, had hidden headlights, and like the new Mustangs have now where they got the taillights that go across, you know, like it blinks like it's going like an arrow. My Cougar had that back then. And but this car was jacked up in the back, and it had a pretty good-sized cam in it, so it hit a lick when it was idling and had the big wide tires under it. And where she went to go pick up the commodities, you know, she was going up there as, you know, representing the school, and so she had to pull up on this thing where it was a hill. And every time she put the car in gear, she was trying to ease it back, and the gas pedal had a real stiff spring on it so that when you pushed on the pedal, you had to push it pretty hard to get it to go, you know, to get it to actually where it engaged the carburetor. And so every time she did, it would whoop, bark the tires. And then she would let off of it and stop. She'd be all embarrassed and everything, but then she still had to back up. And so she kept doing that. And she kept spinning those tires. And she was telling those people, this is not my car. This is not how I normally drive. But then when she went to leave, when she had all this stuff, and then when she pulled out, she was so embarrassed she did push on the gas. And she got out there, and the car turned sideways with her when it hit the road. And there she was. She's like, I can't believe it. Those people probably thought about me. Here I was doing that in their parking lot. And then I got out there, and here I am sliding down the road sideways and everything. Yeah, it was kind of funny. Okay, I'm monopolizing the conversation here. There's got to be somebody else that's got a little funny story that they remember or a joke that they want to share with us. I can't be the only one that did all these crazy things when I was growing up.
I think surely you got to push Mama's microphone back open. She can't be taking it this long.
Right. I just received an emergency call.
That's not funny.
No, it's not quite going along with the program, but I am listening to it. So y'all just go ahead.
Go ahead with our merry hearts.
Yeah.
I'm going to tell a story on Blog Talk Mom then, since she's here listening and she's not sharing anything. Our church had the Christian school, as we've talked about before, and we got our first church bus. And it was like an old school bus, and it was painted green, and it had all kinds of sayings and things on it. But when Brother Shill came up with the new bus that day, he pulled up at the school, and he just loaded up everybody there. And the church was located on Apple Street, and it was amazing how many people in our church lived on Apple Street. And so we just, as we went down there, we loaded up everybody. We was making this big circle, and we were all singing and happy and having this good time and everything. And so we pull up at the church, and there's my mom. Her hair is kind of all hung down, and she's sitting there, tears streaked and everything. And you could see that she'd just been bawling, I mean, just weeping. And she was hugging everybody. Oh, I'm so glad to see everybody in my life. Oh, I just knew that the rapture came and I'd been left behind and all y'all went. And she goes, and I was kind of worried about some of y'all and everything. I thought, surely they didn't get to go when I got left here and everything. But, oh, I've never been so glad to see anybody in my life because I just knew that I'd been left behind. Hey, you guys applauding because she thought she was left behind, or, you know, what are y'all applauding at there? Let's be real here now.
Mom really tells that better.
Okay. She got some drama in it when she was telling it up there at the reunion. I hear a dog tap dancing.
Oh, I thought it was one of your sound effects. I was trying to figure out what it was.
No, that's our dancing Mia dog.
She's like, give me a bone.
She's joining in the talent show portion of the evening.
So you can't think of anything back during that time that you just thought was just funny, just things that's happened?
Listen to the disdain in your voice. You got nothing, you're telling me? There's no humor in your entire life? What, Starla?
I can't believe Sister Kaiser doesn't have anything.
Oh, Kevin was counting on her, too. He said, if Sister Kaiser...
Yeah, she reminds me so much of the George girls, I figured she would have 1,000 of those things like they used to. Plus, she's always, like we were talking about testimony, and she was like, yeah, most people just talking about their testimony. You know, during their testimony service, I just knew. I guess with everything being so negative, it's really hard, you know, that's going on in the world, it's really hard to just shift your gears into things to think about, you know, happier times and things that's going on. And it's, but I thought it would be something that's really good for us to do. And, I think we got somebody.
Yep, we did. Sister Kaiser?
Are you
hello.
Here to answer?
Hello, hello. How is everybody?
Oh, I thought we could get something out of you.
Well, I had a little errand I had to run, so I've been, since I got back to the house, I've been sitting out in the van so I could keep listening to it without having to start and stop. Oh, I've had quite a few funny things happen to me.
I knew it.
Well, in the name of the Lord, at that. I was helping a preacher's wife in Louisiana in a church, and so it came time for we had a big revival going on, and this lady wanted to get baptized. Well, she was quite round, quite huge. So the pastor talked to me and said, listen, there's no room for that woman and me both. Besides that, I don't think it's very ethical for me to baptize her. So he said, I want you to get in there and have your back to the congregation. And I'll be on the outside of the tank, and we'll just take her down in Jesus' name together. I said, okay, no problem. So I get in the tank, you know, and then she comes down. And, of course, she was so excited. She's one of those kinds she couldn't quit, you know. She just, woo! She just was really on fire. No pun intended, in water on fire. Anyway, so we baptized her and took her all the way down. Well, she was quite strong, and when she burst out of that water, she slung both arms, and she said, like that, and she gave me a karate chop right in my chest.
Oh,
knocked the wind out of me, and I was sitting down in the bottom of the baptistry. And I could hear the bubbles in my ears, and I was disoriented. I couldn't think. And so the preacher said, his wife said, where's this guy? And she said, I don't know. So, they got to look, and then they saw my hair kind of floating around. So she pointed down to me like that. I guess I was on the verge of drowning. And so another brother came up on the outside of the tank and reached across with the pastor, and they pulled me up. Well, I fell face down on the steps, you know, and full of water. And he said, pray, church. And he looked at me, and he beat me on the back real hard. Sister Kaiser, pray, church. about 5 times. He had to beat the life out of me. And I was so disoriented, I couldn't even think about what song I thought. I said, I'm okay. But, oh, Lord.
Please, don't beat me no more.
I've been baptized enough. Oh, we had some good things. One time I lived in a Sunday school room. Well, in a Sunday school room. I lived in a furnace room at the church for 3 years. And just a little small place, had a bed and a clothes hanger there and whatever. Had to go across through the sanctuary to the back of the church to take a shower. But I lived there. I lived working for the Lord, you know, just left. And the preacher was gone. His wife was taking her service, and she called me aside. She said, I need you to go get a bar soap and 4, 5, 6 towels. I said, okay. Well, she didn't know that's all the towels I had. And then on a Sunday night, where are you going to get the towels washed? Anyway, she preached on this subject, go take a bath. And she said, a lot of you need to take a bath naturally, but I'm talking about spiritually as well. And I mean, she got into it. And when she got down, the spirit of prophecy came on her, and she saw this young man, and she said, you know, you're just about 10 steps out of church. And, you know, hold on. Y'all still there?
Yes.
We're here.
Yep.
Okay.
We're still 10 steps out of church.
Yeah. So, anyway, she told him, when the spirit of prophecy came upon her, she told this one brother in church, she said, brother, this sermon was for you tonight, and you knew it symbolically, if you would just come get in this baptistry and take this bar of soap and put all over your clothes and dunk yourself as a spirit of submission. You know what? That man still testifies today that was salvation, because unbeknownst to anybody, that night was going to be his last night in church. Of course, 4 or 5 more came up of their own free will to do that same thing. I'm not advocating that. I'm just saying, for that time, you know, it did work. So we had all kinds of experiences, and God works in mysterious ways, his wonders to perform. So all of those men, as far as I know, and their wives are still in that church in Louisiana.
Wow.
Wow. It's awful to say this and everything, but Sister Kaiser can tell you about things in her life that's not meant to be funny, but you can't help but almost roll with the way she says it. Like, for instance, when you were engaged that time, I don't know if you want to share that with everybody here, but your life is one of those things. It's kind of like Paul. You're either up on the mountaintop and everything's going great guns, or it seems like you've had your trials of going through the valley. I don't think you've ever been on an island yet where you've been abandoned there, but it amazes me some of the things.
Asked me a while back, they said, Sister Gosser, are you always on the mountaintop? Absolutely. They said, how in the world do you live like that? I said, well, listen, the full truth of the matter is I'm on top of the mountain, or the mountain's on top of me, but I always have a mountaintop experience. So you can be either on the mountain, or the mountain can be on top of you. It's still the mountaintop, right?
That's right. I think we had somebody else come here, didn't we, Starla?
Did we?
That sounds like an automatic call.
Give me a second. 4553, you're on?
Okay, hi, this is Kevin, by the way.
Hey, Kevin, how you doing?
I'm doing all right. I just thought I'd come in because my mom told me to tell a joke. This is a really, really stupid joke, but, yeah, I made it up, but I'd tell you. Why did Hitler need glasses?
Why?
Because he could not see. There you go.
How long did you have to think that one up, Kevin?
It just came to me in a dream. I was just talking to my friends. I just thought about it. But anyway,
just keep on.
I'm gonna have to go talk to my friends, so I would have to say toodles.
Okay, well, tell her we said hello.
I will.
So I said toodaloo, toodaloo.
Bye.
Thank you for gracing us.
Anytime.
Oh, what a great young man. His mother loves him 1 minute, can kill him the next.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Oh, man. Life is one of those things that you either have to laugh at things sometimes or cry. I won't ever forget we had these neighbors that lived next to us, and they were Polish. And we were cutting firewood with them. We were been cutting trees down along the fence row. And somehow we got into bumblebees. And a lot of people don't know it, but bumblebees nest in the ground. It's not like where you got these nests like wasps or something like that. And so we're trying to load this wood in the back of this truck that we've already cut. Dad's already split and everything. And these bees are coming up. Well, when they first came off on the truck, we took off running. And the owner of the truck, which his name was Joe Janowski, he jumps in the truck and he's sitting there and the thing is just spinning tires, just stuck right up here on this mound of these bees, and they're everywhere. And so Dad's trying to get me to stay away, so we wait till we get settled and everything, and finally Dad said, okay, y'all stay here, I'm going to go up there and I'm going to get in the truck and take off. I think I can get it out of there. And so we had taken all the wood and thrown it out of the back of the truck and then run off again and let the bees settle. And Dad run in here, jumped in, put his foot on the brake, pulled it down in gear, released the emergency brake, and pulled away. And what had been going on the whole time was that Joe had been trying to pull the truck away with the emergency brake on. And so it was just, we had already been stung by bees, loaded the truck, unloaded the truck, and everything, all because he had had the emergency brake on the whole time is all it was.
Oh, boy.
Oh, okay. That reminds me of this guy telling us.
Go ahead.
It reminds me of this guy walked into a bar one time and he was telling Polish jokes. And this guy's like, hey, bud, I'm Polish. And so the guy says, okay, I'm going to say it again real slow for you then so you can understand what's being said. Man, tough audience. You can't get no respect at all.
Well, I got a funny story.
Well, I got a GP. Okay, tell us.
Well, I don't know if you all know, but it's a proven fact that people who have two children have a third child for entertainment purposes. Well, we had a third child, Jared, and he was our entertainment for many years, and still is. Well, we were playing a game, and I want Bill to finish this story because he's a better storyteller than I am. We were playing a game. What was that? You passed that electronic thing around? What is that, Joy?
I know what you mean. I play it at Mom's house.
Anyway, finish it, Bill.
Yeah, I can't think what it's called either.
Anyway, go ahead.
Anyway, Jared was trying to describe this person. He was a famous person that was involved in sports, and so he's given all these clues and everything, and you know, you just got, you know, you can't say the person's name, and so he was trying to say, he said it's a son and race car driver, and you know, he's just going on, you know, famous, you know, NASCAR champion. And so Stella, all of a sudden it dawns in her mind and she goes, Chip Earnhardt. And Jared, I was laying in the bedroom in the other room, and all of a sudden I hear this, Chip Earnhardt, where do you come up with Chip Earnhardt? Please.
The look on his face was priceless. He was just beside himself that I would say something so stupid. But it was really funny.
Yeah, what was that game that y'all were playing when your brother was up here that had the you had to give clues to, but you couldn't, there were certain words you couldn't say? And Starla was like, okay, you're up here in the air, and you're flying and everything, and it's got guns, and everybody's, you know, coming up with all this thing. And she goes, okay, now we're in the water. And I'm like, what, did you crash? Anyway, the word she was trying to describe was aircraft carrier. But, you know, she had everybody, you know, you're flying in the air, you got guns.
Anyway, whatever.
Now we're in the water.
I was thinking at first it was something that flew, and then I realized in the middle of it that it was actually a bug. That
Hello?
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 Am I on the air?
You are?
You're on the air.
I want to ask you guys, do you know, can you remember when milk was at its highest?
When?
When the cow jumped over the moon.
Oh, boy. You are having way too much fun tonight.
I feel like if the Congress can have a lame duck session, maybe we could have a lame duck radio program.
Exactly.
But oh boy.
What was that?
I got a GPS joke for you.
I think FedEx and UPS, when they merged, call it FedEx.
What? FedEx and UPS merged, is that what you were saying?
Yeah,
it
was
call it FedEx.
Cute. All right, let's hear the GPS
joke. What were you saying there, Sharla?
I said, I think you're streaming live from a barn tonight.
Hey.
All your little sound effects. Oh,
yep, there he is.
I resemble that remark.
Which end? Oh, boy.
Oh, that wasn't funny.
That was funny.
Yeah, shoot her, folks.
Boy.
Don't let her get away with that. I think she just called me a horse's rear, folks.
Okay, go
on. Man, I was just thinking a GPS thing I heard about, which I used to call Starla all the time. I had this GPS trying to get directions, and anyone that's ever had a GPS, it's amazing the places it tells you to turn where there's no telling where you're going to end up. But there was a man that was drunk, and he was following his GPS, and he was trying to get out of the United States. He had been arrested for drunk driving before, and he was trying to get out of the country to get back home to Canada. And so he pulls up to this gate, and he's screaming, "Come on, let me go across. I've got to go across now. I'm trying to get back home." Anyway, he didn't realize that what his GPS had directed him to, instead of being to the border crossing going into Canada, he had actually pulled up outside the county jailhouse and was sitting there screaming at the deputy sheriff to open up the gate and let him in. And since he was drunk, they opened up the gate and let him in. So that was a little GPS humor there. There's been times with GPS where I wanted to take it and throw it out the window. It was one of those things that I won't forget. One time I was going from California going to North Dakota or something, and it tried to have me drive up a dirt road with a tractor-trailer truck loaded down with over 50,000 pounds of freight on it. And I was like, don't think that's going to work. I think a couple of times I called Starla and asked her to get a map out. Okay, I'm sitting here rattling along, folks. We're getting down here to the last couple of minutes of the show. Does anyone have a funny story or a joke that they want to share? We have cut up. We have played sound effects. We have told funny stories. We've got silly and told jokes and everything. We tried to make it lighthearted.
On
anybody
1111.
What is that?
Hello?
Hello?
Hello, is that you? You got me that joke.
I got you.
How did I know?
Starla?
Yes.
You hear about the guy that this businessman from another country came to our country? I tried to get convince it. He hired this contractor. He said, "I want you to build me a house like this. And this is like this, and like this, and all the plans and plans are right." And so he said, "I want you to build it according to your own device, your own wisdom. The only thing I really want is the Halo statue." And so I'm going out of the country for 33 months, and I'll be back. So long story short, he came back and told me his house was built, everything was fine and glorious, and he's going, oh, yes, yes, ah, yeah, yes. Yeah, he said, my good man, you did a real good job. He said, but where is my halo statue? Well, the contractor never knew what that was, so he went and bought a little small statue with a halo to put on it. He said, it's right here. He said, no. You know how my no halo statue? What is it? Where is it? He says, well, I don't really know what that is. He says, you know, it goes, halo statue.
Oh, that is
that's
good.
That's what a halo statue is.
Well, I think we've come to the end of our show here with our... I'm sorry?
I was trying to have a last word.
You did good.
Bye.
I think we've done all of our silliness we can do for the night. We're at the end of the show here, but we're going to leave it with everyone. I got a little something here to play, but we're all going to be back next Tuesday night. And for people that's got a suggestion for a topic or guest speaker, shoot us an email. Please go to our blog talk page and register and friend us there. It's free to register. And God bless all of you. We'll be back next week.
This time we'd like to call to your attention important illustrated cards to find located in the seat pocket in front of you. The cards contain important information on the location and the operation of all passenger cabin exits. Please note on the back of the card that your seat cushion is removable. It may be used as a flotation device. So direct your attention to the flight attendant. We'll open up the exits for you. We have two forward door exits, four overwing exits, an aft left service door, and the aft entry door. If you produce cleaning marks overhead, please lock your two exits nearest your seat. You're flying with DC-9.